BlakeRadio.com.
My name is Damian Sandow, and I am here to help all of you. As your intellectual savior, I can no longer stand idly by and watch as you, the unwashed masses, plunge further into the bowels of your own inadequacies and shortcomings.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
No, no, no! This is supposed to be about me! This was supposed to be the greatest night of my life! And not only will I be the champion, but I will be the face of the WWE!
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke. I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show, live right here on WildTalkRadio.com, presented as always by PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for Wrestling Figure Wednesday every Wednesday and Friday afternoon. I am Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
I'm so happy right now.
She's on a Wyatt high at the moment.
Oh my god, am I on a Wyatt high.
And as you heard as we started, that's exactly how Monday Night Raw started, with Bray Wyatt singing in the middle of the ring. He's got the whole world in his hands. And you saw the crowd with their phones out. It was so bright.
All the lights. All the little lights. Oh my god, it made me so happy. That was so cool to see.
And that was that wasn't even as cool as it was later in the show.
Mm-mm.
But we'll get to that. Bray Wyatt came in the ring, talked about all the horrible events in their lives when going to sleep. But in their dreams, they dream of revenge and payback. Bray said reality sets in that they are not superheroes and cannot fix everything. So rage builds up inside. Everything is wrong, he shouted. But he has plans to fix that. Bray Wyatt went back into his childhood and talked about this mean teacher lady who made him feel like he was a piece of trash and would never amount to anything in his life. So he went up to Miss Teacher Lady and asked why she thinks she is so much better than him. Was it because she could flash a fancy diploma in their faces? Bray said the teacher told him he's rotten, and she knew that Bray Wyatt was indeed evil. Now the lady rots in a nursing home, reflecting on the regrets in her life, but here he is in the ring with the whole damn world in his hands.
He was feeling it.
And the crowd started to sing at this point, and then that is my payback, Bray said. He said his ends justify his means, but she was right about one thing. He is evil. I am the necessary evil that must exist in this world to balance everything out. Bray started to move on a little bit, but the fans started chanting, John Cena sucks, John Cena sucks. Bray said in 2 weeks of payback he will be in the last man standing, but tonight Luke Harper is going to put John Cena down. Tonight, Luke Harper destroys. And then they cue John Cena's music. Bray Wyatt's like, boys, go get him, go get him. Well, Cena came the other way, not from the ramp, but from the crowd, Got in the ring, hit an AA on to Bray Wyatt. He bailed out of the ring as the boys jumped back in. John Cena got one up on the Wyatts to open up the show.
This was a fantastic opening segment. I swear to God, when you think Bray Wyatt can't get any better on the mic, he pulls this kind of crap. Kane Kittens, find it. Go back and watch it. That goes for anybody else that missed this promo. It was absolutely incredible.
It really, really was.
It was an amazing opening segment. It was nice to see John Cena one-up Bray Wyatt and kind of get the little bit of an edge on him, which he's been doing lately, where, once again, John Cena thinks he's outsmarted Bray Wyatt, but, well, dude, you got Luke Harper tonight, and Luke Harper doesn't like it when you mess with Bray Wyatt.
No, no, he doesn't.
So, Cena's got a tough task ahead of him, but this opening segment, oh my God, this opening segment was just great.
It really was. Like, Bray Wyatt took his time, walked through the promo, paced very nicely. It was a very good promo. Good start to the show.
Great start. Fantastic start. And they followed it up with something awesome.
Then we have Paul Heyman in the ring. And basically what Paul Heyman did was he did an impression. He laid on his back. He was not the queen being dead. Oh, no, no, no. He was the Undertaker, because that's what the Undertaker looked like when he lost to WrestleMania.
Yes, we know, Paul.
And then
I saw it. I sat there and watched it and cried.
And then he set up something that the Undertaker didn't do at WrestleMania. Paul got some great heat in that segment. He really did.
Oh, he was fantastic in this segment.
Which led to Sheamus versus Cesaro in another really good match between the two.
I love it when these two wrestle because they just go at it.
Their matches are very hard-hitting. They just beat the crap out of one another. And that's what they did for about 12, 13 minutes on this show tonight. And it was fantastic. The finish saw Paul Heyman get up on the ring apron, distract Sheamus, and then with a German suplex with a bridge, Cesaro beat the United States champion. Yes, someone actually won with a German suplex. Shocking. It's been a long time since that's been a finish. Good match, liked it, and I think we'll get a rematch at Payback.
Probably, yeah. And can we just talk about the uppercut from Cesaro to Sheamus? Good God.
Oh, good Lord. Oh. Oh my God. It was vicious. But that's usually an uppercut from Cesaro. Looks vicious every single time.
Yeah, but this was particularly mean. Like, not even kidding. Normally it's mean. This was particularly mean this evening.
It really was. I like this match. Good stuff. Then we have a first time ever on Raw, Lindsay.
Yes.
A German announce table.
Is it like the Spanish one? It's going to get destroyed?
Possibly. But yeah, the German announce team was at Raw at ringside with their own fancy table. It's a thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's a thing. We then had a series of beat the cock challenges for a shot at the Intercontinental Championship at the next pay-per-view Payback. Our first contest of the evening in the beat the cock challenge, Ryback versus Big E. Solid match.
I'm just going to say, Big E couldn't beat Ryback in 3 minutes. He needed five.
He needed five. 5:02 to be exact. But he needed five. It worked out so perfect.
It really did.
Big E wins, so he moves on in the beat the clock challenge. Will the 5:02 last? We will see later in the show. Back from the break, R-Truth came down with the Funkadactyls. Yeah, he danced with them. They did What's Up? Out, you know, came, you know, his opponent for the evening. They were fandangoing in London tonight.
Were they ever?
Well, they always do in London. So it's like, yeah, Fandango is at least over in London. So we were scheduled to have, I think, Naomi and R-Truth versus Layla and Fandango. But out came Summer Rae. In the middle of Layla and Fandango making out, Summer, with a fire behind her, stormed to the ring, walked into the ring, gave Fandango a long kiss, and then had a cat fight with Layla.
She's back!
And she's coming to fight for her man, I guess?
I guess so. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on with it. All I know is it was hilarious. Like, I sat here and laughed for 5 minutes.
Speaking of laughing for 5 minutes, Bo Dallas returns to TV this Friday on SmackDown.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
Believe, everybody.
Believe. Can't wait. It's going to be so cheesy. It's going to be awesome.
It really is. So up next, we hear the theme of Daniel Bryan. He comes to the ring. Oh, wait, no. No, that's not him doing the yes chant. That was Stephanie McMahon.
In heels. And
a skirt.
Props to her.
She went.
All the things, all the awards to Stephanie McMahon tonight. She was amazing.
She went balls to the wall with it. It was fantastic. And she came out to tell us what's happening with the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
I mean, Daniel Bryan has overcome every obstacle. Even his chant has inspired millions of people around the world. Entertainers, celebrities, athletes, professional sports leagues, everyday people like you and I. Well, like you. And Daniel Bryan is doing everything he can to get back to active competition. Because Daniel Bryan is your champion. And he knows that you need an active champion. So therefore, since I know Daniel Bryan is convalescing at home and hanging on my every word, I'm afraid I've got some, well, I think someone else can say it better than I can.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Bad news.
Bad, bad,
bad,
bad,
bad,
bad news.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
That's pretty good.
I am contemplating stripping Daniel Bryan of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and awarding it to the Demon Kane. Or I could strip Daniel Bryan of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and award it to Bad News Barrett. Oh, yeah, you like that, right? Because he's from the UK. You're so predictable. How about I award the WWE World Heavyweight Championship to Batista? No, seriously, if there's anyone deserving of being the champion, it is the COO of the WWE, my husband, the game, the King of Kings, Triple H! But in all seriousness, I am not going to strip Daniel Bryan of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I'm not going to. But I am going to demand that Daniel Bryan show up at Raw next week and do the right thing. Personally surrender the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, because that's what's best for business.
Triple H movement.
Steph, give it to Kane. I am totally okay with that. Totally, completely, 100% okay with that.
Triple H movement.
Kane movement.
Triple H movement.
Kane movement.
Triple H movement.
Kane movement. He will light you on fire.
Triple H will bury you with a sledgehammer. Triple H movement.
How is getting buried with a sledgehammer worse than getting set on fire?
They both suck.
I mean, is this going to turn into another sex on top of a pizza debate?
It may. It may turn into one of those.
Okay. Anyway, great stuff from Stephanie McMahon.
She was tremendous. Steph was full in awesome mode tonight.
By the way, mole.
I'm not a damn mole. You're the damn mole.
I said it to you last night. About pretty much this exact scenario, minus that they didn't go to Payback. They went to next week on Raw.
I know.
For those of you wondering, I called this last night, with the exception of that I had basically them telling Brian he had till Payback to surrender the title, because Payback is when the 30-day rule applies. And since he would not be able to defend, he has to relinquish the title back to the company because, well, he can't defend it. But instead, well, they're going to go to next week on Raw, so it will be very curious to see how that happens. So Daniel Bryan is still your WWE World Heavyweight Champion for now.
Up next, the Union Jacks. We're back. Drew McIntyre, Heath Slater, and Jinder Mahal. It was Heath Slater in action, and he took on Rusev. Rusev destroyed the Lumberjacks. Lana cut a nice heel promo, pro-Russia themed, about us mindless Americans.
The Brits aren't much better, apparently.
No, they're not. Rusev destroyed Heath Slater. No real surprise. And I think this will squash any rumors of Alexander Rusev only going after the blacks. Just pointing this one out.
Yes. I'm actually really happy to see Rusev going after somebody new. I'm also happy to see 3MB not facing the Los Matadors for the 6,000th time. It's a very nice change.
It was a very refreshing change. Backstage, the Shield. We're talking. Dean Ambrose accused Triple H of hiding behind his goons and looking like they're afraid of the Shield. Ambrose pointed to Reigns' stitched up eye, which looked horrible, and asked if that is their brand of justice. Reigns then showed it up close and asked if that's Evolution's best shot. Seth Rollins spoke that Evolution did not get the job done taking him out last week, and they vowed to get revenge on Batista tonight. Good little promo by him. By the Shield, yeah.
The Shield has a mad.
Yes, they do. Beat the Clock Challenge continues. Rob Van Dam versus Alberto Del Rio. Good match.
Really good match.
Rob Van Dam was able to pull out a quick three count on a roll-up, beating Big E's time at the count of 4:15. Only needed 5 more seconds, and then, well, it would have been 4:20.
Yeah. And everybody was complaining about that.
I know, right? Good match. RVD moves on in the Beat the Clock challenge. We then have backstage Renee Young talking to John Cena and the Usos. Renee asked Cena if he has a game plan tonight. Cena brought in his part of the plan, being the Usos crowd. Cena says he knows the crowd is pro-Wyatt tonight and followed Bray's message, giving him a sense of desperation that motivates him. Cena says he doesn't quit or give up because he doesn't turn down fights or challenges. This is the heart of a champion, he said, and then he started pounding and singing as he pounded his chest. The Usos joined in, and then, yeah, they were pounding their chests for some reason, because it's the heart of a champion.
Yeah, it was, yeah. We'll go with that. John Cena, I will say this, John Cena's getting really cocky. He thinks he's got Bray Wyatt figured out. He thinks he's got Bray Wyatt's number, and he thinks he's got this last man standing match won.
Yeah, he really does. We'll see if that comes true at Payback. Backstage in the locker room, Triple H, Reign, and Batista are warming up for the fight tonight. Hunter said tonight is just the start of taking out the Shield one by one, starting tonight with Batista taking on Seth Rollins. Hunter told Big Dave to finish him, but Batista said he's going to do it all by himself. Very, very interesting. Out came Seth Rollins ready for his battle, but out came the game, Triple H. And, well, Triple H only wanted people who out at ringside who had official business, which is why Triple H was the special guest ring announcer. And it's his job to make sure these are as big as possible, which is why he's adding a special guest timekeeper, Randy Orton.
We see what you did there, Hunter.
Before the matchup begins, Seth Rollins took the microphone and said he has, you know, he's going to make this matchup special for his side, as he brought out a couple special guest commentators, Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. So Seth Rollins and Batista, the match was fine, the match was good, it was what you expected. Batista had a really good match with Seth Rollins, but what stole the night in the commentary booth was Dean Ambrose.
Oh my god, Dean Ambrose on commentary. Like, I love how Roman and Dean just stood to the either side of the announce table. Dean talking smack within the first 5 seconds, rooting Seth on in the middle of commentary, and Roman just standing there watching Seth wrestle, smiling.
Uh-huh.
This was so damn funny.
It really was. They were on commentary because Brad Maddox gave them the spot, and, well, why did they get there? Because they put him in the trainer's room. JBL was not happy that they were out there.
Yeah, he was not pleased. But you know what? Since they sent Brad back to the trainer's room, they might as well make the best of it.
We had a Let's Go Rollins chant at one point. Triple H and Randy Orton were around ringside for a while, doing their job, sort of, not really. Then everyone started to brawl. They brawled on the German announce table, which of course you knew that was going to happen. And they just brawled for a while. KS spilled out of the ring. Somehow the bell rang for a DQ. But in the end, after the DQ, Batista got a spear from Rowan Reigns. They were going for a triple powerbomb. Went and pulled him out. It was a big old brawl. Big old finish. No one wins. Seth Rollins basically wins by DQ. But good stuff. Good hype for the battle.
Yeah, very good hype for the battle. Great match. Nice way that they keep, you know, kind of trying to one-up each other, playing their little chess match. They're keeping it fairly even, which is nice. And the Shield are standing their ground. Evolution is standing their ground. It's pretty nice.
It is. Bo Dallas promos on my TV right now. It's Bo Dallas.
He's so goddamn cheesy.
Anyway. Yeah, we can't wait for the Bo Dallas debut on Friday Night SmackDown. If you couldn't tell. It's going to be so cheesy. It's going to be awesome.
I want to see how they do it. Like, that's me. Like, I just want to see how they're going to debut Bo Dallas. Because it's like, if you've seen the gimmick, it's really kind of, you're kind of sitting there going, well, is he just going to walk out and cut a promo? Or, like, what is he going to do?
Oh.
You don't know. And that's the awesome thing about it, is you really don't know. So I'm highly curious about how they're going to do this.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Divas Champion Paige took on Alicia Fox. Fox dominated this matchup. She played a little cat and mouse early on, drawing Paige in and attacking her, and then Fox controlled. Paige fell on back a little bit, but in the end, Alicia Fox beat the Divas Champion, and yes, Alicia Fox actually won a match.
Yes, she did. She was very aggressive in this, which I like and I don't like. I like the new attitude, but I don't like necessarily how she's throwing the moves, because in some ways it looks a little messy.
And it just shows, welcome home, Paige. You finally made it, and you lose in your home country.
Yep. But she got a nice reception.
She got a great reception, apparently, from some people in the audience from a live report. Alicia Fox's music hits, so they started to go to the bathroom. Paige's music hit. Everyone turns back around and gets back to their seats.
Awesome.
Our next Beat the Clock challenge, Dolph Ziggler, Mark Henry. Sadly, neither man could beat the clock. So that means Rob Van Dam is getting an Intercontinental title shot. First thoughts on the match.
I don't remember the match. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there really wasn't much to remember. Before we get to go ahead.
I think this was the point where I'm sitting there going, just give me the damn main event!
Well, you were going to get the main event here in a minute. But we should mention, we can go back to the Alicia Fox segment for a second. After the match, she started to celebrate. She grabbed Jerry Lawler's crown, stood up on the guardrail, and stole kid's soda and poured it on herself.
Dude, why would you pour soda on yourself? Like, seriously? That goes all in your gear. It's going to go all over you. It's like, that stuff's a pain in the ass to get out of your clothes, and then it goes in your hair. It's ew.
I think King was mad because she had his crown on, and I think some of the soda got on the crown.
I think some of the soda got on the crown, too. Yeah, he's like, bring it back! Bring back my crown!
And JBL was like, you can have the crown. Just leave my hat.
Yeah, don't take my hat. Like, the announcers are going to get really possessive of their headgear here shortly. I'm actually waiting for her to walk up and try and steal Bray Wyatt's hat now. Like, it's coming.
After the Ziggler-Henry match, RVD comes down on the stage. And then Bad News Barrett knocks out RVD from behind, said he has some bad news, because he said Rob beat the clock, he has to fight him out for the IC title. But right now they are in London, his capital city, and it just so happens that this is home of GMT. Greenwich time. Rob may have set the best time tonight, but the English set for the time for the entire world. Could someone check on the KO and RVD? Barrett said there's no way this British man is going to lose to a bloody Yank at Payback. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. And again, Barrett was over.
Barrett was over like no other in London tonight. Then in the ring, it's Renee Young, which means it's time for one thing and one thing only. It's time for Adam Rose and the Rose Party. He had a cheeseburger that he talked to. Where's his cheeseburger? His cheeseburger has sesame seeds on his bun. They're going to get it taken care of, though. It's all good.
Is JBL screaming, this is a family show?
This is a family show, and the bunny has rabies. pretty much is what he just started screaming.
Yeah, he just, yeah, JBL does not like Adam Rose.
Renee asks Rose what it means to be a rosebud. It means not to be a lemon. Crowd was dancing the entire, you know, and singing along the entire time. Out come Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter. Zeb asks Renee what she's doing in the ring, hanging out with a bunch of 1969 Woodstock rejects. The crowd started to chant more for Adam Rose. Zeb told Jack to step back as this is between him and Rose. Coulter said he doesn't know how Rose got into America or England, but he fits a lot better here with these freaks than in America. Zeb continued by asking if any of the people in the ring have taken medical tests. He got to the heart of better, but and the crowd started chanting a lot. Zeb told Rose to clear the ring, then the two of them to settle it right here and now. Zeb took off his coat. Swagger jumps Rose. Swagger continued to fire with strikes. Rose came back after this. He was threatening the entourage, and well, Rose got rid of Swagger and told Renee it's party time all the time.
Somehow Adam Rose got the microphone away from Renee Young,
and he was basically conducting the interview. Yeah,
yeah, he was like, he would put it in front of her to ask the question, then he would answer it. But yeah, I'm not quite sure when that happened.
It wasn't very long into it.
No, it wasn't. But yeah, and then I love how Renee's like standing there first with the group as like the party posse's on one side of the ring when all the fighting's going down. And they're like literally just, you know, it's a court of people, so they take up a third of the ring.
Right.
So Renee's like crammed in with them, and then as it starts to pick up, she slowly starts to edge, to the other side of the ring, where she can get out if she has to.
But then she stayed in the ring, and they all partied to close out the segment. Adam Rose was over, and the crowd didn't stop singing his theme for a while.
No, they didn't. At least till somebody else came out and gave them something to sing.
And even during that, they were singing a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit there. Which brings us to our main event, John Cena, Luke Harper. Go.
Holy shit, this was good.
Crowd was into this one. Luke Harper controlled a lot of this matchup. He just beat on John Cena. There was a John Cena sucks chant throughout as well.
They were singing he's got the whole world in his hands. I think they were chanting for Harper at one point. Yeah, this was great. Luke Harper pulled out all the stops in this match. We saw him do a Hurricane Rana. We saw him do the suicide dive.
A drop kick.
He tried to throw the boot a couple times. He was really aggressive with Cena. He was throwing him around. He was beating him up. You know, much to the delight of Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan. I liked that Harper kept looking back to Bray. He kept waiting for, you know, Bray telling him what to do next, which was really nice. Eric was doing the same thing last week, which was very good. Just a couple things, mainly from the announcers. Again, this is just a pet peeve of mine, but if they're going to talk about a gimmick, they need to understand the gimmick, and this is not a shot at them at all, but it's like when you're sitting there and it's like, you know, oh, Luke Harper's looking back for praise for Bray Wyatt. No, he's not. He's not looking for praise. He's looking for what to do next. They don't do anything without Bray telling them to do it. What part of Luke Harper and Eric Rowan don't have a free will do you not understand?
I know.
And then also, Bray Wyatt is not their brother. He is their father. Get it right.
Cena had Harper in the STF, but he got to the ropes. Then the Usos went after the Wyatts. Bray Wyatt ended up in the ring somehow, delivering his sister Abigail, not to one Uso, but both Usos taking them out. Then he went after John Cena, who low-bridged Wyatt, sending him out of the ring. Harper then walked into an AA from John Cena, or Rowan hit the ring, causing disqualification. After the match, Bray Wyatt scooped up John Cena and delivered a Sister Abigail, laying him out. And this is where they started doing the conducting of the crowd, as they started to sing the famous tune, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." Then they weren't done. They dragged John Cena up the ramp. We had a fallaway slam, impressive by Eric Rowan, sending him across up the ramp a little bit. And then he hit another Sister Abigail on the stage, and then Bray Wyatt started to sing, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands." And he did a lot of verses, and as he was doing it, Luke Harper went 1, 2, 3, all the way up to 10, counting out John Cena. And that's how Monday Night Raw closed.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt going postal on the Usos, holy crap.
That was good.
And then, well, told you, Cena, you don't... This is why you don't mock the Wyatt family, you don't mock Bray Wyatt, and you take him seriously. Because he'll lead you into a false sense of security, and then he will pull crap like this. Which I've been waiting for him to do. I've been telling Rock I've been waiting for him to do this, where it's something of they're letting Cena think he's got the upper hand, and then when the moment's right for them, they're gonna get him. And that's exactly what they did tonight, is they got him, hook, line, and sinker, and this was impressive as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bray Sister Abigailed him right out of his shoes.
Yeah, he did.
And he milked the one on the stage.
Oh, he did.
And we also forgot to mention, or at least I don't remember you mentioning it. You forgot about the promo.
Oh, that's right, the promo. There was another promo. That's right. There was another Wyatt promo in there. That was right. The recap didn't have it, so.
Yeah, the Wyatt's basically kind of promo where Bray Wyatt, you know, where Luke Harper started it. Basically, he said they were getting real tired of Cena shit. That's the gist of it. And then Bray Wyatt came on and said he will be the last man standing.
Which was another good promo. It was an unexpected promo, too.
Yeah, because it's like, it started on Eric, and Eric kept looking at the camera and is like, is he going to talk? Is he actually going to talk? And then it cuts over to Luke, and Luke cuts the promo, and it's like, ooh, nice.
Right. And then, go ahead.
Bray does the same thing, and, you know, two very, very strong promos from Bray Wyatt tonight, which I'm totally okay with.
Yeah, Luke Harper, I found it on another recap. Luke Harper told John Cena that he's playing a very dangerous game. The snake has grown very tired of it, he told Cena. Then Bray Wyatt said the Usos, the brothers, are fools. They're just dominoes in a line. One by one, they all fall down.
Which it's actually not a London Bridges reference. It's a Ring Around the Rosie reference.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's still a nursery rhyme, but yeah, this was great. The main event was great. I can't argue with it. This was a really nice way to kind of make the Wyatts, or not kind of, but really make the Wyatts look strong again, because you've had Cena no selling the Wyatts now for a couple weeks and really kind of making Bray look weak. And so you had to do something to make Bray Wyatt and specifically the Wyatt family look very strong. This was it. And I am totally okay with seeing more Luke Harper, John Cena matches, because, God, they're so good when we get them.
Yeah, they are. Good show tonight. It was fast early, then slowed down for a bit, then picked up at the end.
Yeah. But really good show, really enjoyable show. Love the crowd. I love it when they go overseas.
Yeah, it's always fun when they go overseas. But that will do it for the Raw Post Show live right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Thursday night, though, we will be back with The Rock.
That's right. We're going to be talking all about NXT. Will Bo Dallas have his last match? Guess we'll have to find out. Oh no, we're also going to be talking about Impact. We're going to have plenty of news. We're going to have a discussion. All kinds of fun stuff. We may or may not preview Payback early. I don't know. It all kind of depends what happens the week at the end of the month, because I've got some stuff going on. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, in order to find out, you just have to listen Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
The Rack Extra Friday Afternoon Season 2 Episode 9 will be available this Friday afternoon. Go back and listen to Season 2 Episode 8 review now on Rack Radio Show and wildtalkradio.com. Check out us on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Saturday night is midnight. This is the CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Will the part-time player return this Saturday? Tune in to find out. Follow us on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/CigarButtsAndBandanas. Sunday night, it is WTR, Sunday night with Tim Stein, Mason Omega. They will preview Payback and all the news of the week. Follow them on Twitter at WTR Sunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Raw Post Show, Mondays, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow us on Twitter, or rather me, at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. Under the Contact Us section of my website is a link to my Redbubble store. If you'd like my artwork, if you'd like to purchase my artwork, it is available for sale at redbubble.com. You can get prints, t-shirts, all sorts of fun stuff. Just click the link and it'll take you right where you want to go. If you just want to view my artwork, go to behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitter, and most of my work is available for your viewing pleasure, including the two new pieces, Bow Down, which is my not-so-subtle tribute to Triple H and The Authority, and of course, the new Wyatt piece, which is Obey the Buzzards, complete with the new Burn variant. So you have Obey and you have Burn.
Thanks to PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday for Lindsay Ward. I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you Thursday night for The Rack, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, only on wildtalkradio.com, presented by WTRProductions.com.
Come.